The scripture reading this morning will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory in God resteth upon you. On their part is evil timed by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they. That ain't right. Sorry. Spoken, but your part has glorified. But then let alone you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man has suffered as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him be glorified in God on his behalf. For this time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God, and the first began at us. What shall the end of them be of them that not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall be ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, well doing as unto a faithful Creator.
Good to see each one of you today. We appreciate your presence, and we do have visitors with us, and we're honored that you're here. What do you want? You ever change your mind about things? Wendy went up north with me here a while back, and we went out to eat. We was working, and we went to a motorcycle shop, and I found me a motorcycle. And I looked at Wendy. I said, I want this. And I don't know that I'll get it or not, but I told her I wanted that, and I wanted a tattoo on my neck. And I said, okay, I'll live without the tattoo on my neck. Can I have the motorcycle? But, you know, I would really enjoy it. I think I would. I've had a motorcycle before, and y'all can tell me on the way out. I know. Yesterday, I woke up, and I was laying there in bed. I turned the cable TV on in there, and I was watching a fishing tournament. I got to watching those guys catching those bass. They wasn't having any luck, kind of like mine and Keith's fishing trips. When we go, we eat a lot, but normally we have to go to the restaurant when we eat. And we don't catch a lot, but we talk a lot, we have a big time. But I was watching those guys, they wasn't catching much either. And David, I got thinking about it, I said, boy, I'd like to have a boat. A nice big bass boat where you can get up, walk around on it. I said, boy, that'd be fun. Mama, come here. I got to holler at Wendy. Come here and look at these boats. Change my mind just like that. Probably won't get either one of them. But I like to think about it every once in a while. What do I want? What do you want? What is it that you want out of life? Darren, my brother-in-law, and I have been working quite a bit together. He's been traveling up north with me some. We've gotten pretty close over the last few months, him working with us. And, you know, I was thinking when Jacob come up here and when he was reading how proud I am of him, and I got to thinking about everybody that works with us, I got to thinking about who all was here. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have everybody involved in my life, both here at church and at work and in my personal life as well. And I'm proud of each one of you, every one of you that come up here and will lead us in our worship service, no matter what you're asked to do, y'all step up and do it. Both Jacobs and all the others, that young men that get up and do that, I'm proud of each one of you, because it is challenging sometimes. It's challenging to walk up in front of someone. I was telling someone the other day about a misspoken word I used one time in the pulpit. It's very embarrassing. And it happened some 20-something years ago, and I still think about it all the time, because you think that everybody's waiting for you to mess up, but they're not. And so it is challenging when you get up here and you worry about what you're going to say. But Darren and I have gotten close and talking lately, and I get to spend time with him. And the other day we were talking about someone, not in a bad way, not that we pick out someone and talk about them. But we were talking about someone, and Darren brought up the fact that he was talking to this person here a while back, and they were complaining a lot. They said they were complaining about their life, about their health, about where they were in their life and their situation. And Darren got to explaining to me all the things that were said to him, and I said, wow. And Darren said, yeah, it's a little depressing. He says, it's depressing to talk to this person because everything is bad when you talk to that person. Nothing's good in their life. You know, that's coming from Darren, who had an accident a few years ago that killed his daddy and hurt him real bad, and he continues on every day. But Darren brought up the fact, he said, you know, I don't know what people want in life. And we discussed it for a few minutes. And we went around the world, I guess, thinking about what people wanted. And one of the things Darren brought up, he said, you know, all the time we spent at St. Jude when Jay was down there, all them kids wanted was to live. I said, yeah, you're right. There's little fellas down there today, from birth to on up in years, that all they want is to live. And sometimes we're challenged ourselves to decide whether or not we're going to be happy. Whether or not we're going to be content with where we're at in life. I want a motorcycle. I want a boat. I want this. I want that. And people want the very basics in life, some people. Life. I would like to live. I challenge you this week. And I know some of you are going to be out of town, but I challenge you this week to think about the things that you're thankful for this week. Write them down. I would like to read them out on Wednesday night. But what are the things that you're thankful most for in life? And what do you really, really want? Jacob read for us a text that Keith and I talked a little bit about last night, him getting his songs together, and I appreciate him trying to match those. I think it went very well together. But this text that Jacob read for us gives us God's definition of what he wants from us. God's definition, if you will, of the word Christian. You know, what do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What do you want to accomplish in life? And when we think about what God wants from us, he gives us a very clear description from verses 12 through verse 19 of the text there in 1 Peter chapter 4. What is it that you would call a Christian? What is it that you call your life? What is it that as we think about our responsibilities to God, all of us in here are Christians. There are some that may not be, and we're going to encourage you in a few minutes to respond to the Lord's invitation, to be obedient to God, to put him on in baptism. But most everyone else in here have probably already obeyed the gospel at some time. But how have we lived that Christian life? What is it, the standard that we go by? What is it that we measure by when we think about our life? Am I living a Christian life? Look at that text. I got 3 points I want us to mention this morning. I'll run on through them. I just looked up and saw what time it was. I'll run through these points, but I want you to think about the characteristics of a Christian. You know, we've got a group that we may name it. This is what we look for, but God gives us what he expects from us. And the first one that you find there is found in verses 12 through verse 15. And I would say the first characteristic that God gives us there, that people who pay any price, that they will pay any price to follow Christ. Now, that's about sacrifice. So when we think about our definition of a Christian, it has to include, because of God's word, it has to include the us paying a price. It hurts a little bit. We're going to give up certain things in our life. You know, if you flip over, hold your finger to 1 Peter chapter 4, because we're going to come back there. But flip over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. You know, when we think about the church, we think about the Christian, and it's a cross-bearing religion, is it not? Is it not something that we have to carry a cross with us? Not so much that we're being punished, but that we're willing to carry that cross. We're willing to help go that extra mile. We're willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ. You know, think about helping someone. Dad needed a refrigerator, and we was about to go out and buy one. And a friend of mine from Dyer had called me, and he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm fixing to go get Dad a refrigerator." He said, "I got one you can have." I said, "Oh, no, I don't want to take your refrigerator." He said, "It's just in my shop. I don't need it. I don't need it at all. It's just burning electricity. You can have it." He said, "Matter of fact, I'll bring it to you." And they brought it yesterday when that wind and that rain come. That's when they backed in the driveway, and we was out there trying to unload it. But we unloaded the refrigerator. We carried it in the house. I shook her hand. I thanked them. And they said, "No, give us some paper towels." And him and his son got down and cleaned the refrigerator inside and out. And I said, "Y'all quit." I said, "We can clean that refrigerator." He said, "My mother would whoop me if I brought something in somebody's house that looks this bad." And he sat there and he cleaned it. And I helped him, but we sat there and talked and we cleaned it. You know, he didn't have to do that. That's where I was going with that. He didn't have to do it. He didn't even have to give me the refrigerator. He didn't even have to deliver it to me. And he certainly didn't have to clean it up after he loaded it up and put it in Dad's house. He was willing to do those things. And that's what we as Christians, when we think about being a cross bearing, are we willing to carry that cross? Start with verse 24 in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it profit if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" But if you go back to verse 24 there, look at that one more time. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You know, I don't know that that's such a burden as a willingness. I don't know that we've got to hurt to carry that cross, do we? But it's a willingness that we have to carry the cross, a happiness that we carry. And I think the first characteristic that we read there and we think about back in 1 Peter chapter 4 is people who pay a price to follow Jesus. You know, there are some people who claim to be a Christian and never paid a price at all. They live their life. They do the things they want to do. They hit and miss in attendance. They hit and miss in their Bible study, in their faithfulness to God, maybe in their prayer life, in the decisions they make in their life. But they don't carry that cross as they should, day in and day out. Second characteristic, I think, that we find there is found in verse 15 as well. "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters." You know, there's some ethical guidelines that we have to have. You know, people may suffer for wrongdoing. He makes a list here of just about three or four here in this verse that people suffer. But as a Christian, as one who is a follower of Christ, one who's trying to do God's will, people may suffer for wrongdoing, but Christians follow Christ regardless. It's not very often today that we're truly persecuted as a Christian. The day may come that when we come together to worship God, we have to fear more than we are now in our country in which we live, where we have to worry about someone dragging us out. But for the most part, here, right now, we don't have to worry about that. We don't suffer a lot from day to day saying, I love the Lord. I love God. As a whole, in the times that we live, most people do, or at least claim that they do. But as followers of Christ, we need to be willing to follow the guidelines that's laid out here in this entire passage. Look at verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And then I think the third thing, and the last thing, is God lays out for us as we think about the definition of the Christian: people who have obeyed the gospel. Who is a Christian? It's debated today. It's talked about today. And most everyone may claim to be a Christian. Most everybody may think that they are. But what is it to be a Christian? You know, we know the plan of salvation. When we think about the gospel, we think about obeying the gospel. That's a biblical term, that we obey the gospel. Paul pointed out in 1 Thessalonians that we obey the good news. What is the good news? The good news of Jesus is this: it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. And we know that the love of God and the love that Jesus had for us, his willingness to die on the cross for our sins, and we believe that. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and we believe that his blood was shed on the cross that we could have forgiveness of our sins, and we believe that we need to be followers of Christ, and then we surrender our life to God. And then we repent of our sins, and that's one of the active things we have to do. We have to turn away from sin. We have to allow Satan to get out of our life, and we have to allow Jesus to come into our life, and we have to fight sin every day. Just this last week, I was talking to someone, and I brought up the point about attending worship service. I invited this person, which actually was a family, to come and worship with us, and they made the statement, if I come in there, the building might fall. And I laughed. I said, it's standing, and I walk in there. And they said, yeah, but you just don't know. I said, I'm going to tell you something. There's not a person in there without sin. There's not a person that's ever walked through those doors, from the people that built it to the people that worship there every day, that has not sinned. I said, that's why we go to worship service. That's why we come together to praise God. And then I talked to this person about our obedience and part of letting Satan out of our life. The repentance, turning away from sin, confessing that Jesus is Lord and the Son of God, then ultimately being baptized for the remission of our sins. And that's what we have to do in order to become a Christian. Then the challenge for us is whether or not we're going to remain faithful all the days of our life. You know, to me, there's no better life than a Christian life. There's days I struggle. There's days I wonder whether I'm going to make it, because of burdens, because of pressures, because of temptations that come my way, some self-inflicted and some just inflicted by the world, and it puts us on us. But it's a challenge. But a Christian life is the best life that we could possibly live. You know, one of the best things we have is being a Christian, and is pointed out here in our lesson text, is people that are in God's family. If you look at verse 17, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Being a part of God's family is most important. This morning, are you a Christian? Are you willing to pick up that cross today and say, I will follow Jesus? Today, are you willing to come back to God if you've been unfaithful to God and you have sin in your life and you need to turn your life around? God will forgive you. Don't make the statement, I'm not going to come to, as people say, church. I'm afraid a building will fall in. What they meant, we all know. Change your life. If you feel uncomfortable sitting in a church building worshiping God, then change your life. That's why we're here today. That's why the invitation of Jesus is open every day for you to come back so that you will feel like you need to be here worshiping God. If we can help you in any way, come while we stand and sing.